is mighty, but the Lord God.
Good morning. Welcome to Southwest Central Church of Christ that meets here and on Facebook and on Zoom. I'm Dee Pipes. Please let us know that you're here. Even if you're watching later, greet one another. Exchange comments. We've been meeting online for a little over a year. We're going to continue to meet online even as we plan to begin opening up the auditorium next week. Having an online service, I think, is one of the positive things to come out of the pandemic and lockdown. Next Sunday, March 28th, when some people return to the auditorium, we'll be following some guidelines that were in the bulletin. Please call the office, talk to King, if you would like to attend. Steve Sargent, whom I'm not, our most consistent preacher, is watching and will be back next week. Many of you have been on spring break, may still be on spring break, so it's wonderful to see some of our families here watching. We're going to have some songs. Thank you, Brent and Andrea. We're all about social distancing, so if you can't see them both, that's okay. We'll be able to hear them. We'll have a candle lighting in a moment. Alex Vaughn will read scripture. I'll give a sermon. We'll have communion. You'll want to get your Bibles during the sermon and follow along. And so now's a good time to get those. Anybody who needs a leaves bulletin or get your communion supplies too. A cracker, some bread, whatever you're going to use, something for the cup, grape juice, other juice, whatever you choose. Be ready for our time in our worship for communion. And for Lent, we've been searching for Jesus, spiritually and physically. There's a figurine of Jesus about the size of my hand, and it's hidden in plain sight where everyone can see it behind me. So it started out for something for the people in Miss Martha's class, and I think now maybe all of us are enjoying it as much as they are. It's a variation on Where's Waldo? Look around, see if you can find him sometime during our service. If not, we'll have someone point him out later. And remember, when you're looking for Jesus somewhere back there, remember to look in your life, in every day, for where Jesus is working in your life. Then rejoice and give thanks. Leo Kwan's going to light a candle for us, and then Alex Vaughn will read Psalm 51.
Good morning. I'll be reading from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time when my mother conceived me, yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar.
Good morning, church.
Morning.
Today we're going to sing Tell Me the Story of Jesus, and This Is My Father's World.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the of skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass, He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world, oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world, the battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
Thank you. Okay, Roots participants, you went and got your leaves brochure or mail out. Now's a good time to follow along. You had to get the names of the songs, the hymns that we sang. And if you create something that you want to share, please send it to Steve Sargent to let him know you appreciate these worksheets. Pray with me, please. And hold on a second, Zoom. I'm turning y'all a little bit. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Thank you, Alex. Alex read the entirety of Psalm 51, and it was longer than our usual reads. But you've probably heard parts of it before, and pieces of it sound familiar. Today, we're going to focus on the psalm as a whole. It has something that every one of us, each of us, needs to hear. The whole of the psalm offers that. My father-in-law, Charles, used to joke that for his funeral, he wanted us to sing all the often skipped third verses. But some hymns aren't like that. Tell me the story of Jesus. You can't skip a verse and it still makes sense. You lose something with that. And it's just like that with the psalm today. Psalm 51 teaches us the pattern for our lives, and it reflects the pattern of Lent, too. A hard look at ourselves from a posture of repentance, then a movement to praise the Lord. How our Bibles number the psalms and the verses in the psalms is different than how the Jewish version does it. Sometimes psalms are combined into one long psalm in one version and separated into two different psalms in another. In the Hebrew or Jewish version of this psalm, the first two numbered verses are the instructions, that part that we don't always read. If I could instruct you on reading this psalm, I would say, read it all the way through. Don't skip any verses. Don't stop. You may want to read it again and again. That's fine. But each time, go all the way through. That's what we're going to do today. To help set the tone and the setting for the psalm, the instructions say, for the director of music, a psalm of David. When the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. That's what it says. That's what the Jewish version numbers as the first two verses. I want to add, to be used in its entirety. I also want to add, and murdered her husband Uriah. Nathan called David on his sin, showed it to him, made it clear to him. Nathan told David he had sinned. Talk about speaking truth to power. Nathan took God's word and spoke it to David, the king. And Psalm 51 is part of David's response. David knowingly and willingly and selfishly sinned. Then his sin was made clear by Nathan's word, and David owned it. Let me be very clear at this point. This psalm is about sin and repentance. I'm not talking about grief or sorrow. David knowingly, willingly, selfishly sinned. There are some psalms about sorrow and grief. This isn't one of them. Here in Lent, you and I find our own sin, or the Holy Spirit makes it clear to us. Not our sinfulness, not our sinful nature, but our specific sins. And then what do we do with it? Psalm 51 takes us step by step through owning sin, naming it, how to move forward, how not to wallow in our sin, not to blame someone else, not to be crushed under the weight of our sin. Let's see what David did. Verses 1 and 2 in our version are a direct plea for mercy, a plea for cleansing. The summary of the psalm, "Have mercy on me, O God. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Sometimes we say sorry or we apologize. Excuse me. Sometimes I say I'm sorry or I apologize. And for it to be meaningful, I have to know and say what I'm sorry for, what I'm apologizing for. David doesn't do that. He doesn't dodge it. He doesn't just say, "Oh, sorry, God." He confesses what he has done. He names the core of his sin in verses 3 and 4. "My sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned." In the Message, the paraphrase version, the next phrase shows that David understands his situation. "You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair." That's owning it and throwing yourself on God's mercy. The next verses are troublesome in several ways, but they show David's state of mind. Verse 5, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desire faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place." For me, these verses say how far sunk in misery of sin David is. It is the extreme experience that can lead someone to say, "It would have been better had I never been born." It is painting everything in my life with the mud that the sin has caused, that my sin has caused. This is a very dangerous idea. It is from this idea and this quicksand that we must flee quickly with the help of the rest of the psalm. Okay, this is a little bit of an aside. I acknowledge that Psalm 51, verse 5, is used as the basis of theological discussion that is important to many. And Psalm 51, verses 5 and 6 are used to support an intense current issue and cause. We are not looking at those today. These might be addressed theologically, but not today and not by me. We're looking at it from David's point of view and applying it to our life. David doesn't stop here, and we won't either. Remember, this is the whole psalm, from top to bottom, or maybe in the Jewish version, from right to left. But it's the whole thing. It's not picking out a piece of it. "My sin has covered me in mud. My whole life is tainted, destroyed." That's where we are, and here comes hope. "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. We've heard of hyssop. In slavery in Egypt, when the Israelites marked their doorpost with lamb's blood in order to signal the angel of death to pass over them, God instructed them to use a bunch of hyssop as a paintbrush. God was marking his people as pure, not targets of the judgment God was about to deal out to the Egyptians. Yes, cleanse me with hyssop. In Leviticus, God commanded his people to use hyssop in the ceremonial cleaning of people and houses. God tells the priest to use hyssop together with cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and the blood of a clean bird to sprinkle a person recently healed of leprosy. Yes, clean me with hyssop. We don't know exactly what hyssop is, but it could have been the caper bush. And with capers, the herbalists say, the cleansing would have been outside and physical, inside and spiritual. It would have been a complete cleansing. Yes, clean me with hyssop. The next two verses describe what this cleansing means. Let me hear the joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquity. Help me really come back from that black tar pit of my sin. Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. When you cleanse me with hyssop and restore the joy of your salvation to me, then what will I be able to do? What will I want to do when this burden is gone and cleansed away? David says, I will teach others. I will sing of your righteousness. I will declare your praise. But I don't have hyssop. What do I have to offer to atone for this sin? What David recognizes is, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. For us, Jesus' blood has atoned for my sin, your sin, our sin. Your baptism washed you clean, cleansed you. You accepted this cleansing through baptism. If you are not baptized and you are ready to talk more about this, learn more about this, accept the atonement that Jesus' blood offers, contact the church, call Steve Sargent, reach out to someone here, and we will assist you in learning and making that happen. David also acknowledges his role in the fate of his community. And for a king, his role in the kingdom had gotten messed up by his sin. And so he acknowledges that. We are in communities. We have a role in those communities, in our church here, that we can't fulfill, can't deal with when we're stuck in the dark despair of verses 3 through 6. For David, his role, his repentance looks like this in his community. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. For you and for me, it may look like rejoicing in and sharing the good news of the Easter story. the rejoicing and praising our God and loving our neighbors. Nathan's words echo through here. Don't make your broken and contrite heart your lamb, to have and raise and visit it often, to hold and cling to you. Make it your paschal lamb, your Easter lamb, your Passover lamb. Give it to God. Don't get stuck. Psalm 51 teaches us a pattern for our lives, and it reflects the pattern of Lent. A hard look at ourselves from a posture of repentance, then movement to praise the Lord, and not stalling in any part of this cycle. When you find yourself in verses 4 through 6, remember, Psalm 51 has 19 verses. You can't stop a third of the way through. When our lives and our hearts and our minds are stuck in the pandemic, in the darkness of the earlier verses, we might need some help. We might want some help from mental health professionals. That's fine. If you are seeking that kind of help but don't know how to go about getting it or where to go, we have some resources to help with that here at Southwest Central. We have funds for mental health, and Steve Sargent has a list of mental health professionals, places to go for help that he can share with you. Calling, emailing, call the office. Let us help. Let us love our neighbors and support our community. Yes, cleanse me with hyssop. We all need to know that in this season of introspection, that's only a part of the cycle, the routine, the path, the way. We will renew our acceptance of the gift of salvation that Jesus gave us, and we accepted in baptism, by celebrating again the Lord's Supper, or communion. And perhaps it will feel right to you to pray, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Will each and everyone take communion and come back for some announcements in a bit? Thank you.
You are the king.
In our search for Jesus, we sometimes need some help. If you haven't spotted Jesus yet, Max will come up and point him out to you. I spoke about being in a community, and our family matters are certainly about that. We express our sympathy to Nellie Chang and her family on the passing of her sister, Monica. Monica had an event, possibly a heart attack, on Wednesday and underwent surgery but died during the surgery. We will share additional details about memorial services or any other information that we receive. But please keep the Chang family in your prayers. This is Nellie's second sister in about 18 months who died. Another note about communities, Bianca and my nephew Damon, who had a drive-by shower here several weeks ago, welcomed their son, Brian O'Shea Easter, on Saturday. Mother, father, and baby are doing fine. Brian and I have more details if you want them. At 11:15, Chelsea Sargent leads a Sunday school class that meets on Zoom. Contact the church office if you want to get the Zoom link. Next Sunday, March 28th, we'll begin having people in the auditorium during service after just over a year of not doing that. The details were in the bulletin and include fully vaccinated people only, and we're starting with a limited number. Please call the office to sign up if you would like to come to allow us to set up accordingly. Everyone but the person speaking at the time will be masked throughout the service. Thank you for being with us. And now the benediction we have been using throughout Lent. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Go in peace.